It's the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is www.d. Reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is www.dcgreatjoy, all one word, all small letters, GREATJOY. At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. The question I often get asked, and I'm sure you've been asked as well, it seems like almost a form of Christian greeting in these last days. And it's a very important question, but I wonder why it is almost a form of a greeting. And I'm talking about the question, what church do you belong to? What church do you go to? It's an important question, because I'm going to tell you something, that there is only one true church, just as sure as there is only one true faith that is found when one finds the grace of God to repent and believe the gospel. And of course, the gospel is very simple. Jesus Christ died for sinners, and he rose again for our justification. Repent and believe the gospel. And it's sad today that there are many other gospels being preached. It's very sad, but it's a profound sign of the times, because the last days are going to be marked by a great falling away from the faith. And any gospel which does not have repentance first is another gospel. Repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's required. And today, repentance almost seems like something that one might say to someone that one does not like. Repent. You just try it someday. Go into some church full of people on Sunday and stand up and say in a loud, bold voice, repent. See what happens. Chances are the majority will not like to hear that word. And yet, when the first sermon was preached by apostles filled with the Holy Spirit, that was what was said in answer to the question, what must we do? Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there is only one true church. Now, of course, almost every cult will say that they are the one true church. There's some tremendous examples of people totally deceived, deluded, and on a fast track to hell, like the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. And, of course, they say they are the one true church. Another one, the biggest cult in the world is the Roman Catholic Church. Yes, it's the biggest cult in the world. Just that one doctrine of the Immaculate Conception makes the Roman Catholic Church the largest cult in the world. Now, most people who do not know what Catholics believe, and most Catholics don't know what they believe, but most people who are not familiar with what the Catholics believe think that the Immaculate Conception refers to the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost in the Virgin Mary. Well, no, that's not at all what Rome means. That's not at all what the Roman Catholic means when he speaks of the Immaculate Conception. The Immaculate Conception is a doctrine which is a blatant denial of the gospel. It says that Mary was conceived without sin, And that is a blatant denial of the gospel. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all born sinners. Every human being born of the lineage of Adam and Eve are born sinners, born at enmity with God. And that one doctrine makes the Roman Catholic Church the largest cult in the world. And it's claimed by Rome, like all the other cults, that they're the one true church, and they're not. But you need to want to belong to the one true church. Because outside of the one true church, there is no salvation. So it's a very important question. And I don't ask people where they go on Sunday or Saturday. But I will ask, do you belong to the one true church? Do you know what the one true church is? I mean, do you know? Or do you just think you know what the one true church is? Where is the one true church? And it's very important. Paul said with the fullness of apostolic authority, speaking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, said, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. That's pretty hard to do with different Bibles, isn't it? That there be no divisions among you. Where can you find room for a denomination in that? I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there be no divisions among you, that you all speak the same thing. That means you ought to have the same Bible. That you be perfectly joined together with the same mind, that you all speak the same things. You're not going to do that with different Bibles. But in the one true church, this is to be expected. Where is the one true church? What is this one true church like? What are the marks? How do you recognize this one true church? How do you know and recognize the one true church? And these are important questions. These are questions that are essential. They really are. Because outside of that one true church, there is no salvation. I want to give you some answers about this. The one true church is composed of all believers in the Lord Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. The one true church is composed of all real, true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, who have found the grace of God in repentance. It's made up of all of God's elect. It's made up of all converted men and women. It is made up of all true Christians or messianic believers who have found God's grace evidenced in repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. The one true church is whomsoever by that one same Spirit of Messiah, that Spirit of truth and holiness, the Holy Spirit of God, it is in whosoever that we can discern the election of God the Father, the sprinkling of the blood of the Son of God, and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit of God. In that person, we see a member of the one true church of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. It is a church of which all the members have the same marks, because these marks are essential. There may be differences in giftings and callings, but every member of the one true church will have these marks. What are they? They are all born again of the Spirit. You see, if we have not the Spirit of Messiah, we are none of His. You must be born again. It is not optional. And when you're born again, you become part of Israel. The church never replaces Israel. The church is Israel. The true Israel of God. And it doesn't replace Israel. It is made up of all born again by the Spirit of God. All born again people of the faith. Born again by the Spirit of God. And they all possess this repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. And repentance is essential. And fine folk like Bill Bright, with his four spiritual laws, has another gospel. Because he doesn't want anything negative to be said about Campus Crusade for Christ. And it's very, very sad. Because it's another gospel, because it does not have step one. Repentance. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the Holy Spirit of truth, we recognize those who have repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ and others who have been born again. By the Spirit of God, recognize that we have repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Other evidences, of course, are holiness of life. The way we talk, the way we act, the way we conduct our lives, the way we conduct our business should be evident that we are members of the one true church. Another mark about those in the one true church is they all, every single one of them, hate sin. And they all love Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Now, they may worship differently. They may have different liturgies. They may have different forms of prayer. Some may have none at all. Some people worship kneeling, which is, it's biblical. Nothing wrong with that. And some may worship standing up. But they all worship with one heart that has been circumcised by the new birth. This work of the Holy Spirit has been done in the heart. They are all led by this one same Spirit of truth and holiness, the Spirit of Messiah. And they all build upon one foundation, which is that atonement which God has provided for the offense of our sins. You see, the most offensive part of any and all sin is the offense to God's holiness, and we don't have what it takes to satisfy that offense. But God in Christ Jesus, just as Abraham prophesied, did provide himself as a lamb. And we in the one true church are all built upon that one foundation. Let me give you the big difference between religion and faith. Let me give you the big difference between all religions and the faith of Abraham. Religion is a vain attempt by the rituals and doctrines and belief systems of men to make one think that they are acceptable to God, that they have a way of sanctifying themselves. You see, that's religion, self-sanctification, and it does not work. But those in the one true church of the Lord Jesus Christ are all led by one Spirit of truth and holiness, the Spirit of Messiah. And they are built on that one foundation, which is the atonement of the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach, sacrificed outside the gates of Jerusalem on Wednesday. Yes, it was Wednesday. Nisan 14 in 30 AD. And he was resurrected 3 days and three nights later on Saturday. Yes, Saturday. The Sabbath. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He was resurrected on the Sabbath. Nisan 17, Saturday in 30 AD. Another mark regarding this one true church, which makes it quite easy to identify those who are part of this one true church, is their religion is from one single book. Yes, one single book. And that book is the KJV, the Authorized King Jesus Version, I like to call it. Holy Bible, the one God promised would be perfect, purified seven times by the Holy Spirit's superintendence. It's very sad today when you see people who are otherwise brilliant that don't understand that that KJV, that Authorized God Promised Perfect Holy Bible, is the strategic center of Christian faith and doctrine. Am I saying people can't be saved with other Bibles other than the KJV? Of course not. But what I am saying is you ought to know better. What I am saying is I am duty-bound to give you the truth, and the truth is it's a shame. Something wrong with your way of thinking, something wrong with your logic, something radically wrong with your religious observance, and it's a vanity problem if you're using a different Bible. Yeah, you got a vanity problem if you're using a different Bible. Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is the center of Christian or Messianic faith. The faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, whose name is called the Word of God. Jesus, Yeshua, is the strategic center of Christian or Messianic faith. He is God. He is the I Am. He is the Creator and the Redeemer. And His name is called the Word of God. And God keeps His promises. God cannot lie. God does not change. God keeps His promise. And God promised a perfect Bible. And you have a vanity problem if you're not using that God promised perfect King Jesus Version Holy Bible, or one translated into another language from that KJV by someone having the Holy Spirit and call of God to do that work of translation into another language. Jesus, Yeshua, He is the head. He is the center. He is God the Son, the Creator and the Redeemer. And He is the center of the faith of Abraham. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And those in the one true church can say amen, can say hallelujah to that central truth. And they all, even now, can say with one heart, hallelujah, hallelujah. They understand what was necessary that their sin problem could have any hope of being solved. And those in that one true church can all respond with one heart and one voice, amen and amen. I trust in the mercy of God through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Messiah, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. That's a done deal. Happened on Wednesday, Nisan 14 in 30 AD, and He was resurrected 3 days and three nights later on Saturday, Nisan 17 in 30 AD. The one true church is dependent upon no ministers upon earth. I want to say that again because it is so important. The one true church depends upon no ministers on earth. It values those who have been called and ordained by the Lord Jesus Christ. It values those who preach the true gospel in spirit and in truth. Yes, it recognizes and values and may highly esteem them, even giving double honor unto them. But it is not dependent upon any human ministers upon this earth. The one true church knows that the life of its members does not hang upon any church membership or baptism or the Lord's Supper or any observance. Although people in the one true church do highly value the sacraments and ordinances of God, even the feasts of God, and certainly the commandments of God, they highly value these things. But the one true church has only one head, only one shepherd and chief bishop of every soul in the one true church, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. For there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And see, this is another reason why the Roman Catholic Church is the largest cult in the world. Because the Pope says he's the vicar of Christ. He stands in the place of Christ. Well, that makes a cult. Same with Joseph Smith and the Mormons, or people like Judge Rutherford and William Taze Russell of the Jehovah's Witnesses. And it gets very close with so many of these self-proclaimed rabbis and potentates and group leaders. There are many false prophets, false teachers with large followings that we've been warned about. That's not the way. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, admits the members of this church. Oh, yes, yes. Unless the Spirit of God draws someone to be part of that one true church, it's not going to happen. It is only by the Holy Spirit of Messiah, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth and holiness, that anyone can be admitted as members of this one true church. Now, the ministers of this one true church, they may show the door where it is that one may enter, but it is only Jesus, Yeshua, And He alone, the Lord Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, that admits any member into this one true church. And until the Lord Jesus Christ opens the door, He is the door, in fact, no man on earth can open the door. No. Not bishops, not presbyters, or popes, or potentates, or poobahs, or rabbis, or consuls, or whatever. No. Anyone first must find grace. And the evidence of finding grace is to be able to repent. And once anyone can evidence the receipt of the grace of God by way of repentance and believe the gospel, at that moment he becomes a member of this one true church. That may be shocking, but think about the person that we know is in heaven more surely than any of the apostles, more surely than Mother Mary. Think about that repentant thief who died in repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know he's there more surely than anyone. And he did not have opportunity to be baptized, but he had something which is far more important than any water baptism, you see. He had the baptism of the Holy Spirit from the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit in fire. Yes, he had the baptism of the Holy Spirit from the Holy Spirit baptizer who was dying on a cross next to him. That repentant thief may not have ever been able to receive the sacrament. He didn't have the Lord's Supper. And you see, this can be true for us. You know, we may not gather with other brethren to have the Lord's Supper, and yet we eat Christ's body and drink Christ's blood by faith every day that we live. And no minister on earth can prevent us. No Pope, Poobah, or potentate can prevent us. Some man, presuming a position of high authority, may excommunicate someone and cut someone off from the outward ordinances of a particular church. But all the ordained men in the world cannot shut someone out of the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one that can do that is yourself, child. Only you can do that. Now, if you've done it, a faithful minister can confirm that you've done it. Yes, he can. By the Holy Ghost, absolutely he can. But it is the Lord Jesus Christ, and only the Lord Jesus Christ, who opens doors no man can shut, and shuts doors that no man can open. You must be drawn by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you want to turn away, he'll let you go. But you're the only one that can take yourself out of that church. You see, the one true church, the existence of the one true church does not depend on forms or ceremonies or cathedrals or big buildings or chapels or pulpits or baptismal tanks or garments, vestments, however beautiful they may be, instruments, organs, money, kings, governments, princes. Doesn't depend on any of that. Doesn't depend on any act or favor whatsoever from the hand of man. The one true church has often lived on and continued when all these have been taken from it. It has often been driven into the wilderness or into caves in the earth, being totally underground by those who ought to have been its friends. Yes, no persecution like religious persecution. The existence of the one true church depends on nothing but the presence of Christ and His Spirit, and they being ever with it. The church cannot die. No, the gates of hell will not prevail against the one true church. Hallelujah. This one true church is the church to which the biblical titles of honor and privilege and the promises of future glory belong. Yes, they belong to the one true church. This is the body of Christ. This is the flock of Messiah. This is the household of faith and family of God called Israel. Yes, this is God's building. Yes, the true planting of the Lord, God's foundation, and the temple of the Holy Ghost. This is the one true church of the firstborn. Hallelujah. What's my church? The church of the firstborns. This is the church of those whose names are written in heaven. This one true church is the royal priesthood, the chosen generation, the peculiar people, the purchased possession, the redeemed, the habitation of God, the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and the wheat of the earth as well. Yes, the true spiritual food is dispensed through this one true church. This is the holy, united, and only true church of the living God. This is the church of the Apostles' Creed. This is that one apostolic church. This is that one true church to which the Lord Jesus Christ promises the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and to which he says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This is the only church which actually has true unity. Its members are entirely agreed on all the weightier matters of the faith. They know what the essentials are, and they are in agreement on the essentials. He becomes a member of this one true church. God promised perfect King Jesus version, authorized, sprinkled with the blood of the martyrs. Holy Bible is the final authority for all matters of faith and doctrine. This one true church is in unity regarding the necessity of holiness, the value of the Holy Bible, and the importance. But he had something which is far more important than any water baptism, you see. He had the baptism of the Holy Spirit from the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit in fire. Yes, he had the baptism of the Holy Spirit from the Holy Spirit baptizer who is dying on a cross next to him. That repentant thief may not have ever been able to receive the sacrament. He didn't have the Lord's Supper. And you see, and ask them separately about these points, and you will find them all to have one judgment. About these points, all speak, you will find them all to have one judgment. You will find they all speak the same thing about those issues. You will find there will be no divisions among them on those essentials of the faith of the one true church. Yes, this is the one and only true church which has this true sanctification. Its members are holy because God makes them holy. They are not merely holy by their profession. They don't have some sort of holy name or special way of saying things to make them holy. They are holy in judgment. They are holy and real in their love. It's not feigned faith. It's not feigned affection. It's real, genuine, biblical love. They are all holy in the way that they act and in what they do, and in the reality and life and truth that they possess. They are all more or less conformed to this image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, they come short of his glory. Of course we all do. But they are striving. They're not comparing themselves with one another. They compare themselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and humble themselves in the sight of the Lord. And he lifts them up. And they grow from grace to grace. This one true church. This one true church is not the church of any one nation or people. Its members are to be found in every part of the world where the gospel is received and believed. This one true church is not confined within the limits of any one country. This one true church is not known by some peculiar form of outward government. In this one true church, there is no difference between Jew and Greek, between black and white, between denominations, but faith, the faith of Abraham, this faith in the one true living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is all. The members of this one true church know the real Yeshua HaMashiach, who is the Aleph Tav of Genesis 1:1, the Alpha and Omega of Revelation, who is both the Creator and the Redeemer. And the members of this one true church will gather from anywhere, north, south, east, west, and will be of every name and tongue, but they will all be one in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This one true church is the only church which is truly apostolic. This one true church is built on the foundation laid by the apostles. Its doctrine is the doctrine of the apostles, which is the doctrine of Christ. And it holds to these doctrines which were preached by the Lord and taught by his apostles. The two main objects which its members aim are apostolic faith and apostolic practice. And they consider the man who talks of following the apostles without possessing these two things to be no better than sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. This is the only true church which is certain to endure to the end. And nothing can by any means overthrow or destroy it. Its members may be persecuted, oppressed, imprisoned, beaten, beheaded, burned, but this one true church is never going to be extinguished. No, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It rises again from its afflictions. History has shown it is strengthened in persecution and affliction. It lives on through the fires and through the floods. And when crushed in one land, it springs up in another. The Pharaohs, the Herods, the Neros, the Bloody Marys, they have all tried in vain to put down this church. They may kill the members of the one true church by the thousands, and then pass away, and they will go to their place. The lake of fire is enlarged for them. The lake of fire, which was created for the devil and his angels, is enlarged to be their place. Yes, hell will be the eternal destiny for the persecutors of the true church, the one true church, forever. The one true church outlives them all. The one true church will outlive all of its persecutors, and it will see them buried in their due time to become ashes under the feet of the saints of this one true church. It is an anvil that has broken many a hammer in this world, and it will break many a hammer still. Yes, this is the one true church, and it will stand. This one true church is the only church of which no one member can perish. No. No, the members of the true church, the one true church, can not perish. Once someone comes into this one true church and is part of the membership of this one true church, sinners become safe for eternity. They work out their life to sin less and to become sinless, but they trust the Holy One to make them holy. And they are never cast away. Oh, some may choose to leave on their own self-will. But Christ promised never to leave us or forsake us. The election is of God the Father. And the continual intercession, the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at his right hand, and he ever lives to to make intercession for the saints. And we have the daily renewing and sanctifying power of God with the Holy Ghost in us. Yes, we have what it takes. We have been given by God what it takes to endure to the end. It would only be our self-will to turn away from such a blessed hope. And not one who is born into Christ's body, this one true church, shall ever be broken. Not one limb of Christ's one true church can ever be taken out of his hand. Hallelujah. And it is this one true church which does the work of Messiah. This one true church does the work ordained by the Lord Jesus Christ upon this earth. Its members may be a little flock. They may be few in number compared with the children of the world, the flesh and the devil. One or two here, one or two there. Most today, who are members of this one true church, in fact, feel like lone sparrows on the rooftop. They may be few in this place and a few in that place. But these are the ones who will shake the universe. They can talk to God Almighty and be heard. These are the ones empowered and having authority to make real change, even change of kingdoms. Yes, by their prayers. Yes, by their testimony. These are the ones who are the active workers for spreading the knowledge of religion that is pure and undefiled, the only true faith, the only true church, the only true religion. These are the lifeblood of any country. These people are the shield and the defense from the wiles and the destruction that Satan seeks to do on every human being and every country. These are the ones who stand to prevent and to resist Satan. These are the ones who are the real and true support of any nation to which they belong. This one true church of the firstborn is going to be the only church that will be truly glorious at the end, when all of the glory of this earth is passed away. Then you're going to find this one true church of the firstborn will be standing before the King of Glory without spot, before the throne of the King of Glory. Thrones, principalities, powers, dominions upon this earth are going to come to nothing. The dignities and the popes and the presidents and the princes and all these earthly offices and powers are going to pass away. But this one true church of the firstborn shall shine like the stars at the end and be presented with joy ultimately before the Father's throne. But first, the saints are going to want to have a 1,000-year celebration in the big church of the firstborn, 3,600 square miles big. Yeah, the church of the firstborn. That's my church. That's your church. That's where we're headed. It's going to be built on Mount Zion by the King. Hallelujah. And first, we're going to have a 1,000-year celebration, a 1,000-year, a whole Sabbath millennium to praise the Lord of Sabbath, the King of Glory. We're headed for Zion. And it's like the elephant said when the lion bit off his trunk, it won't be long now. In this big church of the firstborn, for this 1,000-year Sabbath millennium gathering of the one true church, you're not going to find any Episcopalians or Presbyterians or Messianics, Baptists or Methodists or whatever other kind of denomination. No, this is going to be the one true church of the firstborn, the one and only true church. It's the church of the firstborn, and that is the only one true church of the elect of God. Hallelujah. This church, this one true church, is the only church to which any man must belong if he would be saved. I hope you hear me. You must be part of this one true church if you're going to be saved. And until anybody belongs to this one true church, with this one true faith of Abraham and the apostles and the prophets. You're no better than any other lost soul. You may have a form. You've got maybe a shell or a husk or a face that you put on, some sort of religious act that you do. But it's just a sham. It's just a show of religion. But unless you're part of this church of the firstborn by the new birth, by his spirit, you have not got the substance and this true, eternal, abundant life that is given from the Lord of life. Yes, you may have all kinds of outward privileges. You may have tremendous knowledge and great wisdom, and you know every Jewish twist, and you might be acknowledged as a greater Torah teacher than Rambam. But if you do not belong to the body of Messiah, the body of Christ, if you do not belong to this church of the firstborn, to this one true church, your light, your knowledge, your wisdom, whatever else that you have, is not going to save your soul. How very, very sad the level of ignorance that abounds in this world today for the famine of hearing the Word of God. Thousands flock to people that don't have enough knowledge of the Word of God to know the difference between a holy and a profane Bible. You got new Bible correctors arising every year by the score, and people don't see what's wrong with it. The purpose-driven church, the church growth movement. What is the purpose of the purpose-driven church? Obviously, the purpose of the purpose-driven church is self-idolatry. They heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, teachers that will tell them what they want to hear, giving them some new religious spirit tinker toy, and not the Word of God. Men seem to think that if they join a big church with a lot of people and become members of this big church and go through these forms that this big popular church has, that everything must be right, that they're must be saved because this is the majority opinion church in the whole area. But sadly, Jesus said there would be few that would be saved. They're involved in an utter, total delusion, and it's a strong delusion, and it is the most devastating of all mistakes and errors that any human being could make. Paul in Romans 9:6 said, "For they are not all Israel which are of Israel." And somebody is not part of the body of Christ. They're not part of this one true church of the firstborn. They're not part of the body of Messiah just because they claim to be Christians. Yes, they may be on the deacon board. Yeah, they may be called an elder. Maybe they're even a bishop of some big denomination. Maybe they got a doctor's degree from seminary. Maybe they're Baptist. Maybe they're a seminary professor. And yet, they do not belong to the one true church. And if you do not belong to the one true church, in the end, it would have been better if you had never been born.
To them that are sanctified, God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Mercy unto you and peace, and love be multiplied. Mercy unto you and peace, and love be multiplied. To them that are sanctified, serve in Jesus Christ, and call. Mercy unto you and peace, and love be multiplied. Mercy unto you and peace, and love be multiplied. To them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ and all. preserved in Jesus Christ. Mercy unto you and peace, and love be multiplied. Mercy unto you and peace, and love be multiplied. And love be multiplied. To them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Mercy unto you and peace, and love be multiplied. Mercy unto you and peace, and love be multiplied. And love be multiplied. And love be
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is www.dccsa, that's David Charlie Charlie Sam Alpha, .com/ Great Joy, all one word, all small letters, GREATJOY. At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.